This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today's show takes us to the 5,000-euro sport Kabaddi. But first up, this week's news roundup on the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, as usual, Sabrina Magdalene from the News Desk. Welcome back to the show, Sabrina. On the good, bad, and ugly, we have two pieces of good news for you this week. Sabrina, let's do it.
Yeah, so because it's Deepavali celebration, so we got double celebrations here too. So the first is that athletes in Tokyo for next year's Olympic Games won't have to go through the 14-day isolation period. Olympic organizers, they are still working out the details, but some of the measures for the athletes are likely the usual SOPs, which are coronavirus testing within 72 hours before arriving in Japan. But they have actually yet to make a decision on spectators from overseas.
That's a tricky one.
Yeah, correct. They said because a 14-day quarantine is actually impossible. So they will only be able to come to a conclusion about that next year. That will also depend, of course, on the developments of the pandemic. So coming on to my next good news. Guess which female athlete is the first Malaysian to have her own Barbie doll?
This is all over the news, but you tell us, Sabrina.
Yeah, so it's our very own gymnast, Farah Ann Abdul Hadi.
That's right.
So the doll of the 26-year-old SEA Games gold medalist has her jet black hair, you know, tied back in a slick ponytail, her usual signature look. She's donning a silver studded leotard in pink, gold and white. So this is actually part of American toy company Mattel's You Can Be Anything campaign for 2020.
Right.
The theme is You Can Be an Athlete, and it actually aims to encourage young girls to pursue a career in sports through inspiring female athletes. So the other Malaysian athletes may not have gotten their dolls yet, but some of them were actually named as role models for the campaign, like Olympic diver Leong Man Yee, squash champion Dato' Nicole Ann David, bowler Shahlin Zulkifli, and also speed skater Anja Chong.
That's great.
And globally, Farah joins the likes of Japanese tennis player Naomi Osaka, American actress, model and activist Yara Shahidi, and Australian conservationist Bindi Irwin. So, you know, I mean, this definitely feels like a mood lifter during these gloomy times.
For sure,
and
for sure.
This is definitely a boost for Farah as she prepares for the Tokyo Olympics next year.
Let's move on from that to the bad news of the week, Sabrina.
Yes, so this is for local sports. The Malaysia Cup got cancelled. And the other thing is that Super League champions JDT, they are actually not allowed to travel to Doha later this month for the AFC Champions League. So for the first story, the Malaysia Cup. So the Malaysia Football League said that it's worried that delay or cancelling the Malaysia Cup will lead to significant financial losses. Putrajaya responded to that, saying that it is standing by its decision to cancel the games, even in areas not under the conditional movement control order. So Defence Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob first apologised, and he explained that there are too many health and safety concerns. Some of the setbacks are, you know, how the players and team staff will be in the same bus, and also how it will be difficult to control the SOP in changing rooms. So the Youth and Sports Minister has actually come out to say that it will the ministry will submit an appeal to the National Security Council for the Malaysia Cup competition to be allowed to continue to complete the remaining 7 matches.
Right.
But the appeal will only be submitted once there was a drop in the number of COVID-19 cases. And he's actually hoping that the 7 matches can go ahead in states which are considered green zones. So now I guess it's just like waiting for the traffic light to turn green.
Yeah, last week, the Evening Edition team actually did a nice piece on a deeper discussion into the impact of, you know, the cancellation of the Malaysian Cup. So if you're listening to this, do go check out their podcast for a more extended conversation about it. For the second story now on JDT.
Yes, so what actually happened is that they're not being allowed to go to Doha, and it's because the country's borders are closed and citizens are not allowed to travel abroad. So Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob said that even cabinet ministers are not allowed to travel overseas for important conferences. So JDT's technical director responded and said, you know, the team is extremely disappointed, you know, for not being able to take part in the competition, but will still, you know, respect the government's decision.
All right, from JDT, we move on to the ugly news of the week. And this one's international story.
Yes, so this is between Barcelona and Neymar. It's like a love-hate relationship. So Barcelona is apparently planning to sue Neymar for 10.2 million euros. According to Spanish newspaper El Mundo, Barca believe they actually overpaid the striker during his time at Nou Camp. So here's how it goes. You know, Neymar was with Barca between 2013 and 2017 before joining PSG, mm-hmm. you know, for the world record fee of 222 million euros.
Yep.
So El Mundo is reporting that an inspection from the tax office in Spain showed that Barcelona did not make the appropriate reductions when paying Neymar's taxes. And this is according to an inspection carried out on Barcelona, which lasted until 2015, which is in between his time at Nou Camp.
Right.
So Neymar apparently benefited from unfair enrichment. That was what was said. And so a source told AFP that Barcelona will now seek to reclaim the amount that they are owed. And according to an official document released in September, Neymar actually has more unpaid tax with the Spanish authorities than any other person, with debts of 34.6 million euros.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, not all hope is lost between the relationship between Barca and Neymar, because reports were saying that Barca did attempt to bring Neymar back to the club despite their legal disputes. Mm. But the bidding to bring Neymar to Barca will actually have to wait because of Barca's financial issues, which came about because of the pandemic.
Many thanks to Sabrina McLean from the news desk for this week's news roundup on the good, the bad and the ugly. Now onto our story of the week and to the world of kabaddi, a contact sport that joins the likes of boxing, wrestling and even taekwondo, where it suffered more significantly than other sports. Kabaddi is a unique sport where many players come in physical contact with each other at any given time. Players are always in very close proximity to each other and hold each other's hands to form defensive patterns. This poses a significant problem to kabaddi associations and federations on the resumption of the sport, with officials having to go back to the drawing board to figure out contingency plans. With the Kabaddi World Cup rescheduled to take place in Glasgow next year, preparations for our national team have been halted. And to give us an insight into recovery plans, this week on the line we have Malaysian Kabaddi Federation Chairman and World Kabaddi Secretary General S.T. Arasu.
To tell you the truth, I think the last since March we have been on a virtual lockdown. Mm. Of course, kabaddi being a physical game where there's a lot of body contact, we have not been able to do much even in terms of training because you can't really train when there is body contact and all these things.
Mm.
We did do one program over online to talk about the rules changes in kabaddi over the last 1 year. Apart from them, I think we have been just empowering ourselves on basic theoretical part of kabaddi instead of actually the competition part of it. That's the most we could do, because I think apart from that, as far as training is concerned, I think the players themselves have been doing putting in more time on physical training on their own.
I see. Okay.
To improve their fitness, mm. and also their strength, coordination, and all these things.
So you're saying that it is possible to, you know, keep up that optimal form in kabaddi with non-contact exercises, so in-house training or all that kind of stuff?
No, we see. Basically, what happens is when you do your physical exercise and all, yes, it keeps you your fitness level at an optimum level, and all things, but.
Mm-hmm.
Optimum level on the court is very much different. When you talk about the contact sports, mm. Obviously your stamina goes down as the match progresses.
Mm.
That's something which we cannot just evaluate based on just training sessions on your own.
So, like you rightly mentioned, kabaddi is a contact sport, just like boxing, just like wrestling, just like taekwondo. All this have taken huge blows as compared to other sports. Kabaddi is a game of competitive nature. What are your thoughts on the sport being higher risk as compared to the others?
I think even when there's no contact, I think the risk is always there. But here, because the players are grappling almost at every moment of the game, so it becomes actually a higher risk. And that, I think we need to change a lot of how we do competitions and how we look at conducting tournaments in the future. I think whether with the pandemic or without the pandemic, I think there has to be some sort of changes that we need to look itself in the basics of how we are going to conduct competitions in the future.
Right. How has the Federation been handling, I guess, the lull of action? Other than, you know, online stuff, what are the other contingency plans that you have put forward?
We were actually supposed to start our National League this year. So we really could not get it off because we were planning actually to do it in the fourth quarter of this year. So it should have been going on now.
Okay.
Since it has been moved to next year, what we did was we started empowering the club. So we were spending a lot of time to make sure that there are more clubs registered. Mm. And we got some of our senior players, those who have been playing for a long time and all, we told them, look, you cannot continue just think about playing, but you also need to do development in the future.
Right.
So I think at this point in time, over the last couple of months, I think close to 12 new clubs have been registered.
Oh, wow.
So cool. Next year, I think it will be a new push forward because we left, obviously, we left more players with more clubs.
Mm. As for player performances, how do you plan on making sure that it's back up to standards once court games are allowed to resume?
A lot of people still talk about going for competition immediately. But for me, I think one of the key things that we need to do now is to actually how to restart the game at the grassroots level.
Right.
Because if we don't start off at that level, then it's very difficult for us to be competitive at the elite level.
Yeah.
So even when I say, that, assuming we have 12 or 15 clubs taking part next year, they will need at least for this game another 3 to 4 months to actually get themselves at the optimum level to actually play in a competition. Because I think without that training and physical conditioning, when they go into court, I think the rate of injuries will be much higher. I think I also read today in EPL itself, the Football League in England itself, I think they also complaining that the rate of injuries during the pandemic has been very high. I think this one of the reasons is because the restart was too fast, too quickly done without looking at giving them time to actually condition themselves at optimum level.
So as from the start of the MCO to today, there hasn't been any competitions, that's for sure. But has there been any activity on the Kabaddi grassroots?
None. Because, as I said, we could not even go for training. So there's nothing has been done. The only thing that we did was, as I said, we did online one or two online programs. We have been in touch with the players and the clubs and all to look at how they're progressing and all the things. Hopefully, and we have been spending a lot of time planning what we can do actually for the new year.
Okay.
Hopefully, the vaccine is available in Malaysia by April or May or June, whatever it is. So whatever we are planning, I think we need to plan only for the second part of the year. It is a waste because I think the health and well-being of anybody is most important. And Kabaddi being a very basic game that does not require much equipment was helpful in actually keeping the health and fitness of most of our players. And we really hope that that things change in the future. And then we can actually really start on actual competitions.
Gotcha.
And obviously, as I said, that is the World Cup, which is supposed to be happening in Glasgow next year. So we hope at least we'll have a couple of months to train for that before we can send a team to Scotland.
On the World Cup now, how would you say that? Definitely no preparations as of yet, but we have a short amount of time to next year, right?
Yeah, exactly. Short amount of time. But what at the World Cup level, I think the decision was made that all countries will be given at least a 2 month notice before the tournament commences.
Okay.
So I think 2 months will give us at least some form of fitness level to come up, but it's going to take more than just a 1 hour training a day.
Yeah.
So I think we are encouraging players to actually keep going jogging, doing some weight exercises at home. So when they report for the selection or the full-time training, then it's much easier for the coaches to push them forward on teamwork and the techniques and the entire to set up the team properly for the tournament.
Arasu, lots of sports, I've spoken to a whole bunch of circles and all of them, most of them at least, are, you know, confused, are in limbo, they're not sure what to do, only because there's no official guidelines on new SOPs and stuff like that. Has MKF released anything of that sort? Like, an update or guideline or anything like that?
We cannot actually come out with our own SOP. I think we rely a lot on what KBS is giving us. Initially, when the sports ministry actually came out with some guidelines saying that, okay, you can start resume training but without any contact, we did conduct I think two or three sessions with some of the players to just to start getting them into the mode of playing back up a day again.
Okay.
And then the SOP changed again. They said no more training, so everything went back again. So it has been a
roller coaster,
a very haphazard moment for us as far as how we want to push the grassroots forward.
Some of the things being bantered around on Kabaddi is the introduction of hand gloves and things like skin tights for the athletes on the court. Do you think that's viable?
I think the skin tight uniform, which has already been used before, is not something new. But definitely, I think hand gloves will not be permitted because it could actually injure the players more. Because I think that in Kabaddi there is things like ankle holes, knee holes, and all things. So, and the players, when they try to escape, it can actually injure them with lacerations and all these things. So, definitely not on gloves. But I think skin-tight uniforms for the men has been done before. Not for the women, because women, we are so sensitive with the religious and also their own preferences. But another thing that has been bandied around much is actually to start wearing helmets.
Helmets?
Similar to wrestling.
Oh, okay.
To stop injuries like concussion and all these things. But as I said, Kabaddi is a 5,000-year-old game. But it has been modernized over the last 10 to 20 years. So things are still fluid. Things are being changed to make it more interesting. But while making it more interesting, the game has also become very a much faster game, which takes a lot more stamina than previously because of some rules changes we have made recently.
Okay.
So I don't see that Kabaddi will actually maintain the same rules and regulations in terms of attire and what they are going to use for protection as a hard and fast rules. I think this will evolve over the years.
Okay, so Kabaddi is an evolving game. Apart from equipment, Arasu, what do you foresee the new normal for Kabaddi to be?
I think one of the things that we really need to look at is actually organizing of competitions. I think needs to be looked into very deeply, because I think one of the problems that, especially at grassroots level, even in Malaysia when we do, is as long as we have a venue, we just go ahead and do the competition.
I see.
But now I think we really need to look at the facilities available at the venue itself, which means things like proper bathrooms, changing rooms, where players and officials and spectators can actually go and wash up immediately after matches. I think that will be a very important thing when we look at the future of the game as far as venue is concerned. And also the use of face masks, I think, should be actually adopted, especially among the organizers, the technical table, and all these things. Because if you look at most competitions, whether it's Kabaddi or any other sports, most of the technical officials, the desk officials, you look, they are all past 40, past 50 years old and all things. These are the groups that we really need to take care. So perhaps one of the things that we need to look at is they start wearing the mask.
Right.
Whether there's a pandemic or not.
So what are the lessons that I guess you guys have learned, you know, and other federations can learn from this pandemic? Basically, what I'm asking is, right now that you have experienced these unprecedented times, what lessons have you learned that you can prepare better for something like this again?
I think the biggest problem is not about players coming back to play, I think, but it's actually basically about how are we managing our finances.
Okay.
I think the days where we still end up paying huge prize money or even allowances or salaries to players and all has to be re-looked at. Because if you just look at now, I think worldwide, I think the loss that associations are going through, not loss actually, the amount of money they actually have to plow back, even without any competition taking place, is actually tremendous. So we really need to look at whether we want to 100% professionalize sports where it becomes a job for the players, or we are going to do it as a sports, purely as a sports thing. So even if you want to professionalize the players, then there must be a cap for how much the players can get. And it also goes back to the management of the association, that we should be start looking at controlling our finance according to what we have instead of what we foresee we are going to have.
Right. Have you guys reached out to the government for support or emergency funding, anything like that?
You see, at this point in time, although we have some backlog payment that we need to pay up, but I think it's too early for us to actually ask government for those fundings, because I would prefer that government fundings comes in for things that we are going to conduct in the future.
Right. Okay.
There's no point paying off when we can look, we can talk to our creditors, okay, like give us some time to pay those funds that we need to pay you. But at least we don't end up paying them all we have, or from sponsors or from the government, and then when the restart happens, we don't have money to even start a single program. So I think that's more important, that the money you use for the restart initially.
All right. Arasu, since the last we spoke, how have you seen the growth of Kabaddi in Malaysia over the years? I know next year is the World Cup in Glasgow, and we did quite well at the previous World Cup in Malacca. We ended up fourth.
Right? Yeah, in Malacca, the women's ended up third, actually.
That's
great. The men's was fourth. We could have done better, but it just said there were a lot of other issues that we could not resolve in time.
Right.
We hope that we could do better next year. But overall, I think growth in Kabaddi, as far as Malaysia Kabaddi Federation is concerned, I think it has been tremendous. In fact, this year, when the World Kabaddi Day was celebrated on March 24th, the Malaysian Kabaddi Federation was picked as the best managed association in World Kabaddi.
Congrats.
So that was a real morale booster for us to move forward.
Last question. What are your hopes for, I mean, this year has been really unprecedented, but what are your hopes for, I guess, the rest of the year and also next year?
I just hope that the vaccine comes in quickly by this year. So next year, it's basically that there are quite a number of competitions that we are looking forward to.
Okay.
One is the World Cup. And then we're also looking at whether we can get into the Asian Championships that's being planned later part of the year. And there's also some other invitation tournaments that people have actually planning now. So we hope to get these teams, our Malaysian teams, to be ready to go there. But more over and above all that, we just hope that we could have a stronger platform for Kabaddi in Malaysia, especially whether Kabaddi can be re-included in SUKMA. I think it was dropped a couple of games before.
Okay.
So hopefully when the SUKMA takes place again in 2022, Kabaddi gets back into that. So this will give an avenue for the younger players to actually showcase their talents. And it will games like National Championship, the SUKMA and all, very important for Kabaddi, rather than games like football and badminton and hockey, because they have a lot of other tournaments to look up for at the national level. For sports like Kabaddi and some of the non-mainstream sports, getting into SUKMA is a key factor to promote and develop the game at a faster rate in Malaysia.
That was S.T. Arasu, the Malaysian Kabaddi Federation Chairman and World Kabaddi Secretary General. With that, we've come to the end of this week's program. If you'd like to revisit the interview with S.T. Arasu, the podcast for today's show will be up real soon on our website, www.bfm.my/barnone. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And also don't forget to download our BFM app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong, and this has been Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.